Jesus, lover of my soul, let me to thy bosom fly. You know, as she was sharing with us today in the narrative of Charles Wesley's life, and the 21st of May, that focal date in his life when he came to know the Lord Jesus Christ, this will be the week whenever we will celebrate the conversion of Charles Wesley. I hope that you know the Savior today. I trust that you can say, he loved me and gave himself for me. I know him as my own and personal Savior. That entire verse in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20 is one of the great New Testament verses where the Apostle Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Yes, he gave himself for you. If you had been the only sinner in the world who needed a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ would have come all the way from heaven's glory to the shame and anguish of the cross, that he might provide redemption for you. You can truly be saved. You too can know your sins forgiven. You too can be born of the Spirit. You too can begin to rejoice as Charles Wesley did. Oh yes, he was religious, but he was not converted. And that may be you. And I trust that this day will see you also brought into the kingdom of God through the mighty power of the Spirit of the Lord. Now I'm going to read today from the New Testament scriptures, and I'm reading from the book of Galatians chapter 2. We're commencing our reading at verse 16. Here are the words. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we which have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Concluding our Bible reading there at verse 21. And I've read that passage because it is so pertinent to the conversion experience of the man that we've been speaking of today, Charles Wesley. If you ever have the opportunity to go to Bristol and to visit John Wesley's chapel there, you will find a bronze statue, a life-size statue of Charles Wesley. That statue was made by Brook Hitch, and it was erected in 1939. Charles is depicted with an outstretched right hand. It's in a beckoning attitude, in a beckoning form. In his left hand and by his side, there is a small Bible. And at the base of the statue, you will find these words. Oh, let me commend my Savior to you. You see, that was really how Charles Wesley so frequently concluded his messages. He was a great preacher as well as a great hymn writer. He wasn't perhaps so prominent as his brother John in the preaching, but nevertheless, Charles Wesley preached to many thousands of people, and he preached often in many different areas, and visited Ireland as well, and preached to many thousands of people in Ireland. And we rejoice today for for the preaching ministry of Charles Wesley. And I love that sentence. I have often used it myself. Charles Wesley, oh, let me commend my Savior to you. How did he do that? How did he commend the Savior to the people? Well, he did it by emphasizing the whole range of evangelical truth that we find in the Scriptures. As I read the journal of Charles Wesley, I find that he picks out those key verses in the Scriptures, great gospel verses, great invitational verses in the Scriptures, calling people to repentance, calling them to salvation through the precious name and the precious blood of Jesus. He was a passionate preacher, preaching directly to the hearts of the people that he stood before, as like his brother John. What an amazing impact these two brothers made, along with others, of course, at that time, the 18th century. But we do want to retain some of the experience of John's life and his testimony and his ministry for next Sunday, the next service and the next time that we come on. So we want to keep some of it for that. But today my emphasis is on his brother Charles. So one of the occasions of his ministry, he stood before the miners at Kingswood. You know, the colliery was not a great place for spirituality. Those were the people who never darkened a church door. There were people who were living almost in heathendom and paganism and without Jesus Christ and no interest in the things of God. And so to these people, the Wesley brothers would go in ministry and reaching them when no other person or persons was doing it. So thank God today for that. And when he stood before them, he said, I preach to them those three pictures that we have of Jesus Christ in the Scriptures. And what was he sharing with those people so long ago that I want to share with you today? And I trust with feeling and with directness and with impact to your, not only your mind, but also to your soul. Well, the first very important emphasis is that he spoke to them about Jesus Christ as the prophet. Because in the Scriptures, the Lord Jesus is depicted as prophet, priest, and king. And so whenever we think about the Savior as a prophet, we're thinking about someone who has a message. Prophets were men who came with a message. In fact, in the Old Testament Scriptures, this man was promised by the Spirit of God, through the Word of God, to Moses, the great leader of the people of Israel, that God would send them a prophet. Actually, when Stephen is preaching his great final sermon in Acts chapter 7, he speaks about the prophet that would come. And you know, whenever the Savior did come, we read about him as being a prophet. People spoke of him as being a prophet. And why did they do that? Well, they did that because he spake words not like any other man. And they were amazed at his doctrine, and they were gripped by his preaching. He was a man with a message. Do you know something today? As an ambassador of the Lord Jesus Christ, I am a man with a message. I've come to you today with a message. What is that message? That Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, that he came to seek and to save that which was lost. The first time that he ever appeared in his public ministry at the synagogue, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He hath sent me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. And he said, he has sent me to announce deliverance to the captives and the opening of the prison to those that are bound. Oh, what a glorious day that was. The people were arrested by his ministry. That was an announcement at the beginning of his earthly ministry. The three succeeding years were going to be an outworking of that great and wonderful proclamation. Someone who would come to speak the message of the gospel to the poor. You know, the Bible tells us Again, Jesus said, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. The Bible tells us that the common people heard him gladly. And when I think about that, my mind again reverts to the life and preaching ministry of Charles Wesley and John. They may not have exclusively spoken to poor people, but it was common people in the main who listened to these men, who were not like the preachers that often occupied the pulpits, that were stiff and starchy, whilst the people in the pews were disengaged and often slept. No, these men had a message that was preached with all the freshness of that brand new presentation, reality, reality. People are still looking for reality. I wonder today, have you come to realize that there's more to life than religion? That it's not about how we function within the dusty walls of some big building somewhere, but it's how we live and how the dynamic of the life of Jesus Christ lives within our lives. Yes, there's a message, and the message to be proclaimed is the message of a free salvation for all sinners. And thank God today it also incorporates the message of a full salvation from all sin. And as this man, Charles Wesley, preached and employed these great verses, invitational verses, reaching out, as I've said, with his hand, beckoning the people, inviting them to come. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Again, that glorious invitation, often used by another great preacher, D.L. Moody, in Luke chapter 14. Come, for all things are now ready. Come, sinners, to the gospel feast. That was one of Charles Wesley's great hymns. And the gospel table is spread. The gospel feast is laid on. And I can say to you today, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. If there's anything today that I want to do, it is to bring to you a message of life in Jesus Christ, life in the Son. Thank God today, he came to set the captives free. He came to give life to the dead. He came to give light and sight to the blind. He came to make the lame to walk again. And thank God he came to raise the dead from the death of sin to the life of righteousness. Oh yes, he is a man with a message, the prophet, the Lord Jesus Christ. But he's also the priest. You see, whenever Old Testament times were unfolding, the ministry of the priesthood was a very important ministry, because they were the go-between, the sinner and the holy God. They were the ones who were employed in bringing the sacrificial offerings and the precious blood that would be shed for the atonement and for the reconciliation and for the forgiveness of the person who had transgressed, making an atonement. In the book of Leviticus, God says, the life of the flesh is in the blood. I have given you the blood upon the altar for an atonement. It is the blood that atones for the soul. So when we come to the New Testament, it's not surprising that one day, whenever John the Baptist was preaching, he looked up the road and he said, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And right through the New Testament scriptures, one of the great key emphases is the message of the cross. And of course, we realize that whilst the Savior was born in Bethlehem and came to live, and lived for 33 and a half years, and 3.5 years of those being spent in public ministry, the destination of our Savior was the cross. The centrality of the cross has to be in our ministry, in our message, and in our emphases. The ministry of Charles Wesley centered around the cross, as did John's ministry as well. And preaching Christ crucified, risen, and exalted was the message of the Apostle Paul. He says in writing to the church at Corinth, "The preaching of the cross is to those that perish foolishness, but unto us who are saved, it is the power of God." Have you experienced the power of the cross? The wonderful power of the precious blood of Jesus? Yes, he came to die. He came to give his life as a sacrifice, an offering, as a ransom. He is called the Redeemer. There is a Redeemer, Jesus, God's own Son. Precious Lamb of God, Messiah, Holy One. I'm so glad for the day that God's Spirit came, opening my eyes to the marvelous message of the cross and revealing to me the Savior who gave himself. He loved me and gave himself for me. It was that event, it was that revelation to this man, Charles Wesley, that brought him into the light of the gospel of God's grace and salvation. And that's exactly what you need. That's what we all need. We all need to have a visitation, an encounter with the cross work of Jesus, where we find ourselves as guilty, lost, and helpless sinners, where we discover ourselves as unable to save ourselves, that it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. And thank God today for the mercy of God in Christ revealed at the cross. Mercy there was great, and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. Can you imagine the scene as these hardened miners would stand listening to this preacher, this ordained minister, now converted, preaching his heart out, speaking from his soul to the hearts and souls of these people? Can you imagine how they would feel when they would see themselves lost, undone, and guilty, and bound for hell, unless the grace of God reached them and the saving power of Jesus Christ was operational in their lives? Can you imagine what it was like whenever the tears began to trickle down their faces and those cold, stained faces were lined with tears, whitening tracks and along their cheeks, and then those men falling down to their knees and crying out to God for mercy? Oh, my friends, today, it is the power of the cross of Jesus that changes hard hearts and brings them to the light and glory of God's salvation. You can experience that. You can know that too. It doesn't matter whether you're a hardened collier background without any time for God or the things of God, or you are an upright churchman living within the precincts of the church and religious to the hilt. No, we all need to come in simple faith and true repentance and kneel at the cross. Christ will meet us there. Yes, the prophet with a message, the priest with an offering. He offered himself without spot unto God, says the writer to the Hebrews in the epistle to the Hebrews. But then briefly in conclusion, let me share with you that here is also the sovereign prophet, priest, and king, the potentate with the scepter. The Bible tells us that his scepter is a scepter of righteousness. He also tells us, the writer in the book of the Revelation, that this is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Here is the Prince of Peace walking amongst the people. Here is the one who went to the cross, and as Isaac Watts put it, the young Prince of Glory. When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss and pour contempt on all my pride. Forbid it, Lord, that I should boast save in the death of Christ my God, All the vain things that charm me most, I sacrifice them to his blood. But my dear people, he's not on a cross today, not in a tomb. He's seated at God's right hand. He is now the majesty on high. And what glorious news I have for you. He's coming again, not in a lowly form to a manger at Bethlehem, not to be crucified, mocked and spat upon and set at naught, but to live and reign. He is coming in majesty and in power, riding at the head of heaven's armies. All will bow at his feet. Every knee shall bow, says the Bible. Every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. He is the King. He's the rightful King, and he should be the rightful King in his place. Where? In your heart. King of my life, I crown thee now. Thine shall the glory be, lest I forget thy thorn-crowned brow. Lead me to Calvary, lest I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget thine agony, lest I forget thy love for me. Lead me to Calvary. Through the cross, my dear friends, we will one day wear the crown. But no cross, no crown. The way of the cross leads home. The way of the cross is the way of exaltation. The way of the cross is the way to the glory. Are you on the way to the glory land via the cross? Charles Wesley stood before the miners, preached to them Christ, the prophet with a message, the priest with an offering, the king with a scepter of authority. And today he says to us, all authority is given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. That's why today you're able to listen to this message and the message of many pastors and evangelists and missionaries today, because Jesus Christ is alive. Is he living in your heart? Do you know him as your personal Savior? Have you made him Lord and King, the majesty enthroned on your heart and in your inmost soul? Well, I trust that today that will be your experience. Now remember this, that you too can enjoy this so great salvation.